Many years ago, I started focusing more on children because you can help them more. Because if you catch these things when they're trying to attach to the child, or when they're only lightly attached, it's much easier to remove them. If you can stop them attaching in the first place, that's even better. So if you take some actions when the child goes through the nightmares and night terror stage. And it's usually very, very simple things to do, very practical things like leaving the overhead light on will cut the paranormal activity in the child's room by 50%.
That much? Even,
yep.
Wow.
Cuts it down dramatically. The overhead light, you know, nice bright light. Now, children often ask for the light to be left on because they're afraid, and they will sleep quite fine. But parents are often, you know, conscious about wasting power and things like that, or their parents would never allow it, and they have a thing about it, so they won't allow it, and they force the child to sleep in the dark, which, of course, escalates the activities in there. Now, children are generally more psychically sensitive. And this normally happens to psychically sensitive children. And you'll find children, you know, the typical monster under the bed or in the cupboard sort of thing, they will often see and hear things which nobody else in the room, the adults, will not pick up whatsoever. You know, even if you're a psychic, you won't sense anything.
Right.
But the child is hearing things and seeing things which aren't there, which are, you know, entity related. And often, of course, the children are not believed. And it's like all in your head, you know, don't worry your mother. And after a period of time, the child starts getting in trouble for it and is told off or punished for making these things up because it's all in your head. And the child, you know, tries to put it out of their mind, and they basically stop telling the adults what's going on. And they keep it to themselves, you know, because they get in trouble for it. George, I've eavesdropped. Shamelessly on groups of children over the years when they've been in children from the age of like 3 to 6 years of age, and there's like half a dozen sitting down talking about it. And on their own, they will talk openly amongst themselves about what this spirit is doing and who it is with now, and all kinds of things which parents would freak if they heard. But, of course, they clam up when an adult comes around because they've learned to be quiet because they get in trouble for talking about it. So, you know, it's put down as a malicious fantasy.
Yeah.
But you can do an awful lot about this by some very, very simple things. And I give them all in my book, the Practical Psychic Self-Defense Handbook, the new edition. And it's things like leaving the overhead light on if the child needs it, you know, get a low-energy bulb, sprinkling the room, declutter it, repaint it, make it really bright and clean and make it smell nice. All of these things repel negative-type entities, make the child feel better, and lots of very, very simple things you can do to make a child's life better.
A dingy room will attract an entity?
Yeah, definitely. Now, a dingy room that needs a good clean is attracts negative entities in the same way that a nice, brightly lit room with the scent of flowers in it will attract positive spirits. And you get a build-up of positive spirits. They're like little orbs, nature spirits that come in. They're attracted to the nice colours and the ambience and the smells, and they gather there and they build up. And it's almost like they feed on the positive energy. Now, that creates a very strong countermeasure because it's a repulsive environment for a negative-type entity or spirit. And the reverse applies. So if you get a dingy, cluttered room with, you know, smelly socks lying around and a bit of garbage around, that will tend to attract negative-type spirits, and this negative energy will build up in that room until it will then start attracting larger, you could say more serious, negative-type entities, you know, can live in that environment quite happily, and that will tend to repel positive spirits from the house. And in this way, you know, you'll get one energy or the other will overtake the house. So obviously, if you want to reverse that, as any Scotch girl will tell you, very ancient knowledge here, if you get an entity problem, scrub the house from top to bottom. Time for a spring clean.
Sure.
Clean it, declutter it, make it nice, do the best you can, and that alone, that'll cut down half your problems just by keeping it really, really clean. And the intention you put into it, you're intending to clean it and to clean the energy of the house as well, you know, to make it more positive. That's the intention in the action of doing the spring clean, which is very, very important.
What about the closet, Robert? Do entities kind of hide in the closet? As kids, we were always a little concerned about the closet door being open.
Yes, George, definitely. They hide in closets because light, like, as I was saying, you turn the overhead light on, you'll cut down the paranormal activity, the energy levels in there, which are building up. They tend to build up in the dark and the quiet, and they need a dark, quiet place to build up and manifest. Now, if you've got light on an activity outside, it's usually dark and quiet in the closet or in the cellar or in a cupboard. Even under a bed, it's darker and quieter there. So the closet's a favorite place for something to build up. If you have a spook in a home that's operating there, it will usually make a little nest, a little home for itself in the darkest, quietest area in the house. Sometimes that'll be a cellar or a basement area, a place that doesn't get a lot of light. Or if it's with a child, it will often be in a child, and it will usually be in the closet because it's usually dark and quiet there during the daytime when there's too much light coming in.
Tell us some of the symptoms of psychic attacks, just so we can notice them for ourselves.
Well, symptoms of psychic attack, I've mentioned some already. Yeah. I'll go through them again. An actual psychic attack, you know, when it first starts, if someone's attacking or something is attacking you, you will feel cold shivers up your back, and you'll feel really cold patches of air around you. Like you walk across the room, you'll find a very distinct cold area. That's a symptom. There's something negative there. You will see sparks of light in the atmosphere around you, particularly black sparks. You'll see dark sparks. Like flies, and often in groups of them. So you think there's like a swarm of insects in there, when it's not. It's actually a swarm of like dark dots, dark energy dots. But they're like little orbs. Each of those you could say is like a little negative type entity. But your mind is the biggest giveaway, apart from the physical symptoms. I mean, like pain. You will get pains that come and go, like someone jabs you in the side and you can sort of jump. Or jabbing pains in the feet is a dead giveaway, George.
Really?
Because remember I said they always beeline for your feet because we have roots that go into the earth?
Yeah.
And being an earthbound spirit, two-dimensional, even though it can project like a three-dimensional image, it's like a two-dimensional shadow on the ground we can't see. They always enter the body through the feet. And you can say enter the aura and the energy field in that way there. Now, it's very common to get sharp jabbing pains in the feet, like someone is jabbing you with a thumbtack. It can be quite painful.